First John chapter 4, if you'll look there with me tonight. And we're gonna read here beginning in verse number 1. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, we're going to read four verses here to get started here tonight. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's a great verse, and most everybody knows that verse of Scripture. You've overcome because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I think often we talk about, and hopefully not too much, because I never want to give glory to the enemy and to Satan's work. I think it's obvious if you pay any attention at all to news reports and things that are going on in our world, you don't have to spend a lot of time, but what you catch on quick, that there is a spirit of Antichrist in our world today. Antichrist, anti-Jesus Christ, opposing spirit that's in the world today. And because of that opposing spirit, that Antichrist spirit that's in the world today, then for the church to really function and be what we need to be, we are not going to be able to be careless, half asleep, disinterested, unmoved, or did she say a statue or whatever, just, you know, unresponsive, not involved, not interested, not hungry for the things of the Lord. Jesus Christ is coming after a church that is going to be a glorious church. That's what the Bible says, a glorious church. And I want to be a part of that. But until Jesus comes, that glorious church that is victorious, it's strong, that church is going to be able to meet the challenges of the day, whatever that might come our way. Whatever those challenges might be, if you are strong in the Spirit, if you are victorious in Jesus Christ, walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, then you're going to be able to face whatever challenge might come your way. Now, that we know that there's just two forces, really, in the world today. And everything that's going on in our world today, you can reduce it to either the working of God and the working of the Spirit of God, or the other force is that spirit of Antichrist, that spirit of the enemy, Satan, the devil, our adversary. And one of those two forces are actively motivating all the things that are transpiring in your life right now. Only those two. And since the enemy wants to, in these last days, he wants to get the upper hand. He wants to bring destruction. He's come to rob, to steal, to kill, to destroy. That's what the enemy has come to do. And if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves in a weak, kind of spiritually lethargic condition, and we're not at all ready for the challenges of the day. But the church is made up of individual people who have determined that we are going to be a spiritual people, a godly people, filled with the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, living, as we talked this morning, living by faith. And by the way, I didn't want to misquote it, because I reread over some of those verses this afternoon. And the verse in Habakkuk, it says, the just shall live by his faith. Read it. The just shall live. I've quoted it again and again and again. Now, the New Testament verses that we referred to this morning, where they all say the just shall live by faith. But Habakkuk says the just shall live by his faith. Now, that just means to me that there is a personal thing that needs to be going on in your life, in your relationship with the Lord. And if the enemy gets the upper hand, then you are going to find yourself, you know, taking the tuck head, conceding to all of the lies and all of the efforts of the enemy today to try to bring destruction to your life and to the body of Christ. Tremendous pressures in these days. Now, I've been around the church pretty much all of my life, and I've been around the ministry a lot of years. Let me tell you, I believe that as we get closer and closer to the end of this age, that we are experiencing a whole new type, a whole new challenge and pressures that are coming against the people of God. And the enemy doesn't stop. He starts with these precious little children that we talk about. He starts with these precious little children that are going to be walking in the doors of this sanctuary the next 3 days. He starts when they're very young. He wants to get a hold of their heart. He wants to capture their affections and their desires while they're very, very young. And he's attempting to do that. And so the pressures are on. Even young children are feeling the pressures to fit in the world, to be a part of what is going on in the world. Peer pressure used to be something we talked about for adolescents and for young teenagers, but no, it's even moved into young children who are feeling the pressures of this world to try to identify with this world, because the enemy wants to get a hold of their hearts while they're very, very young. Not only the children, the youth are feeling it. Young people are feeling the pressure. You know, and when the pressure is greater on the outside than it is on the inside, then you know what's going to happen. Collapse. When the pressures are great on the outside, then you're going to cave in. You're going to collapse. You're going to fall prey to the lies of the enemy. And so, young people, you're feeling pressures, no doubt like you've never felt before. The pressures of the enemy, the lies of the enemy, the strategy of Satan against you. What is he wanting to do? He wants to destroy your life, destroy the potential of your life. He wants to wreck it. He wants to ruin it. All the things that God has planned for you, his work, his plan for your life. If you allow yourself to become weak and susceptible to the attacks of the enemy, you're going to cave in. Oh, the pressures are on to identify with the world, to be like the world, to be in step with the world and the things of this world. But the call of God is for us to have a greater pressure of the Spirit of God within us than the pressures of the world. Amen. And when the pressures, these opposing forces are residing within you, then no matter what Satan throws your way, the Bible says greater, stronger is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So it doesn't make any difference no matter what the enemy might throw your way. If you are a born-again Christian, if you are filled with the Spirit, if you are attempting to serve God with your whole heart and you're striving for the things of God, then you're going to be able to face the pressures of these last days and not cave in. Amen. I was a teenager in the late 60s and the 70s. And that wasn't exactly a time of great spiritual revivals. Maybe in some places, but there was a lot of rebellion that was going on. There was a lot of resistance to the things of God. And I know that the pressures are on today. We experienced it back there in the 60s and in the 70s with the enemy coming in every possible way against us. I remember the turmoil of my spirit.
I remember the struggle that I had with it all, wanting to be like my friends and wanting to do what they were doing and follow in a particular direction all the while. And I have to say that one of the most important things that I attribute in my own personal testimony is the fact that as a young person, I got really born again, I got really saved, and I had a real experience in the Holy Ghost when I was about 14 or maybe 15 years old. I had an experience. So all those times that I felt pressures and I felt the tugging of the enemy against me, I had a frame of reference that I could always look back to. Yes, but I had a real encounter with Jesus Christ. That was a real thing that happened to me. I had a real experience in the Holy Ghost. That was real. I can't forget that. I can't get away from that. And so because I had that frame of reference to always go back to, it was something that helped me to stay right and to somehow, you know, get my bearings and say, no, 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 I don't need to follow that pathway because there's so much greater, so much more wonderful things that God has for his people if they'll commit their ways to the Lord. Let me tell you, whatever it is that's competing with your spiritual experience, it may not even be a sinful thing, but it's competing for your loves and your desires. It's taking your time. It's taking you out of church. It's taking you out of any spiritual pursuit that you're involved in, whatever that it might be. Again, it might not even be something that would be considered sinful or even worldly necessarily, but it's just grabbed your heart and your attention, and the pressures are building, and you're caving in to the philosophy and the ways of this world. Don't allow that to happen. Greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. But that's only true as if Jesus Christ is in the center of your life. That's only true if you are filled up with the Spirit of God. Amen. You got to get a hold of something that you might be able to resist the pressures of this day. Amen. I tell you, young people, I'm not just talking to the young people, but I know that on my mind, on my heart tonight is some of you young people here tonight. You've got to put up a resistance. I remember years ago, Brother Burkett preaching about the word no. Y'all remember that? Y'all ever heard him preach about no? And the word no. And how when you say, and of course only his brother Burkett could express it, when you say your weakest little no to the enemy, your little mousy little soft little, when you just say no to the enemy and to temptation, all of heaven lights up. And in the halls of heaven, yes is the resounding sound in heaven, because your little no in this world has caused all of heaven, as Megan was describing, to support you and to get behind you and to say, yes, you're going in the right direction. Because when you say no to the enemy, you're saying yes to the things of God. Amen. When you resist him, you got to put up a resistance to the things of this world. You have to say no to the enemy. And I know that Satan, he's not going to just let go of you just because you say one little measly no. Let me tell you, the second time you say no, it's easier. And the third time that you say no to the temptations of the enemy, it gets easier. And you're getting stronger. And because whenever you resist the enemy, the Bible says Satan has no other choice. When you resist him, he has to flee. Whenever you say no to the enemy, and when you resist the enemy, then you can be sure that you are putting Satan to flight. And as you say no again and no the next time, and before you know it, you have found yourself walking in a new level of victory, and the temptations are not nearly as strong and often, because the enemy knows that you have determined in your mind and in your heart, I'm not going to go that way. I'm not going to live like that. God's got too many wonderful good things for me. I remember thinking as a young person that I wanted to travel. I actually wanted to be in a singing group, if you can believe that. I wanted to be in a singing group, and I wanted to travel all over the country. And I came up to that place where I said, okay, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Whenever I said no to the enemy and yes to the Lord, I really thought I was giving up everything. I thought I was giving up all the things that I could ever have desired or loved. Do you understand that in the next 3 years, whenever I went to Bible school, one summer I traveled 16,000 miles. I was traveling all over the place. I was going to churches. I was doing the very thing that was in my heart that I wanted to do, only I was in the will of God. And the Lord has a way of working in our lives. When you're willing to say no to the enemy, resist the enemy. The Bible says Satan has to flee from you because you've put up a resistance to the lies of the enemy. I want to encourage you, not only children and young people, but everyone, young families, young couples, everyone. You've got to put up a resistance to the lies of the enemy, to the deceptive spirit of the enemy. You've got to resist the devil. The Bible says he will flee from you. Submit yourself to God. This is James chapter 4. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh unto you. Praise God. Now there's another group of people in the scripture in the book of Acts that they were described when Stephen was preaching his message there, but just before he was martyred, and he was preaching to that group of religious people who were, as he called them, stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. Ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. You do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did. Amen. Let me tell you, if you are resisting, if you are not putting up a fight against the enemy, then you're going to find yourself resisting the things of God. You're going to find yourself, you know, you're going to look for every opportunity to stay away from spiritual things, to stay away from the house of God, to stay away from your Bible, and you'll begin to resist the very work of God in your life. Stephen described those people as people who were stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart and ears, that they wouldn't allow God to touch their heart. They wouldn't listen to the voice of God. They resisted the voice of the Holy Ghost. It's a serious thing. If you don't put up a resistance to the lies of the enemy, you're going to find yourself resisting the Holy Ghost. Resisting the voice of the Spirit of God and the promptings and the dealing of the Spirit of God with your life. And it's too serious of a thing to throw away and to reject the voice and the workings of the Spirit of God in your life. Amen. So you're going to be able to be victorious and withstand the pressures of these days. Number one, you're going to have to put up a resistance. Amen. Number two, you're going to have to strengthen your faith. You're going to have to strengthen your faith. As I mentioned from Habakkuk, it's a personal thing. The just shall live by his faith. Not the faith of the preachers, your parents, or others. Thank God for those that you have in your life who are encouraging you and helping you along the way. And that's needed and that's important. But you're going to have to get it for yourself. You're going to have to get a hold of something yourself. You're going to have to pray through and get a hold of a real experience yourself. It's wonderful to have moms and dads who pray for you and are concerned about you, but you're going to have to get something yourself. You're going to have to just press in to the altar, press in to the Word of God, and strengthen your faith. Amen. Your faith is strengthened by the Word of God. Amen. Let me tell you, little children, they learn how to read and they can learn the Bible. Can they not? Oh, yeah. They can learn the Bible. Small children can read the Bible. And we know, even the experience that we have here in our school, little young children, kindergartners, first graders, they memorize sometimes pretty good sized sections of Scripture. It's amazing. Their capacity for learning the Word of God, they can strengthen themselves in the Word of God, and we can all do that. You build your faith by God's Word, by knowing the Word, by knowing the promises of God. And then you personalize the Word whenever you pray over it. Amen. When you pray and you learn to fellowship with God and you get close and your heart becomes the heart of God and His heart becomes your heart, and there's just closeness of communion and fellowship and this relationship with the Lord, and your faith is strengthened by that. Your faith is strengthened by acting on your faith, by exercising your faith, by stepping out and doing the things that the Lord is asking you to do. Oh, it's so important to listen to God. Listen to the voice of God. Amen. It's important. God's trying to, he wants to use you. He wants to speak to your heart. If you'll just, now this morning at the 6 o'clock prayer meeting in here in the sanctuary, Brother James is somewhere else, but in here in the sanctuary was me and Roy Collett. He was praying over in that corner and I was praying over in his corner. And while I was praying, I just sensed the Lord deal with me. You need to go over there and pray for Roy Collett. I didn't know about all that was going on with him. You need to go over there and pray for him. And I hesitated. I didn't do it right that quickly. And then when I looked and started to turn to get up to go over there, he was walking over to me. He was walking over to me. And I said, how are you doing? Not so good. Then he told me. And we had a good time of prayer. Let me tell you, the Spirit of God in every situation of your life is trying to use you and lead you. If you'll just listen, if I'll just listen, if we'll just be attentive to the voice of the Lord, and it encourages your faith when you act upon the things that God is speaking to your heart. You're going to have to put up a resistance if you're going to survive in this pressured age that is causing so many to cave in to the lies of the enemy. You're going to have to put up a resistance. You're going to have to strengthen your faith. And you're going to have to be filled with the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Be filled with the Spirit. Oh, I need to remind you. We're a Pentecostal church. Amen. It's on the sign out there. And hopefully it's not just on the sign, but it's a part of your belief system. What the Bible says. And the experience, it's the New Testament message of the experience of Pentecost. But it's not just an experience of us getting a hold of, you know, some wonderful experience in the Spirit. But it's more than that. The Scripture in Ephesians 5 and 18, where it says, and be not drunk with wine where it is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. When you look at that verse, it literally means, be continually filled again and again and again and again. Don't allow yourself to become weak and susceptible. Don't allow yourself to lose that wonderful infilling, that wonderful source of divine power that's been made available to you by the Holy Ghost. Don't allow that to leak out. Amen. Glory to God. But be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. And when you are, When the Spirit of God resides within you and you have this continual relationship with the Lord whereby you are filled again and again and again, then this week, maybe tomorrow, in the next day or two, you might get hit head on by some pressured attack of the enemy that you've never experienced before, and you would have caved in if it had not have been for the fact that on Sunday night you came to the altar and you prayed through and you got a hold of God and you were filled again with the Holy Ghost, and as a result of that you were ready for the challenge. Hallelujah. You were ready for the attack of the enemy against you. Be filled with the Spirit. Amen. Be filled with the Spirit. By the way, that's not just for young people. That's for us too. That's for us that are 30 and 40 and 50 and 60 and 70 and 80. And if you're in your 90s, whatever age that you are, it doesn't make any difference. You need to be filled with the Spirit. Amen. Everyone that I talk to, preachers are feeling the pressure. Young families are feeling the pressures. Marriages are under pressure. Young people are under pressure. Children are under pressure. So many ways that the enemy is working against us. And we don't have to fall prey to the enemy. We don't have to allow him to have the upper hand in our life. Yes, There are pressures. There are temptations. There are things that Satan is doing to try to destroy your life, my life, the future of our life. No one is exempt from this. Everyone, some that you would think are the most spiritual and most dynamic people in God, if they allow themselves to become weakened and unprepared, they're going to fall prey to the pressures that the enemy sends. Amen. Amen. And I want to hold on to the Lord. I want to hold on to the Lord. Amen. I want to get a hold of God. Some of you are involving an extra different prayer meetings and such throughout the week. Let me tell you, make those times filling up times. Make those times when you're just pressing in. You don't know what you're going to face next week or next month. You don't know. Satan may very well have you in his sights, and he's wanting to bring you down and destroy your life and destroy your testimony and the potential of your life. Oh, I know that's what he wants to do. He'd love to do it to me, to you, to everyone in this building, because he knows the potential that we have in God, by the Spirit of God. He knows what can be accomplished when saints of God get a hold of God and begin to be filled with the Spirit and moving as one force for God. Well, the enemy don't want that to happen. So he's throwing every possible thing that he can in our way. But we need to be filled with the Spirit. Resist the enemy. Don't resist the Holy Ghost. Don't resist the Holy Ghost. It is a serious thing to resist the working of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is always entreating you, always admonishing you. The Spirit of God is always trying to encourage you, to convince you, to help you. He comes alongside us to help us. He's a spiritual help to us. Amen. The Holy Ghost is there available to you if you will open your heart. He uses the Word of God. He uses your conscience. He uses providential dealings, different things that he may use in your life. But don't resist that. When God begins to deal with you and prompt you in your life, don't resist it. Or don't fall prey to that. You must resist the lies of the enemy. And do not resist the voice of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Well, how do you know what's going on in your life if you are resisting the Holy Ghost? Well, you're distracted for one thing. Inattention to the things of God. I've stood in the pulpit enough times that I can look over the audience, and you may think I'm not paying it much attention, but I pretty well know what's going on. Amen. 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 A lot of times there's so much distraction. So many things. Inattention. Not really focused on the things of God. As I mentioned a little earlier in this service, you may not like, you know, some particular song, or you might wish it was somebody else that was preaching, or then I could get a hold of something. Then I could hear from the Lord. No, you can hear from God. If you have a heart after God, you can hear from God. Amen. You can worship the Lord. You may not even prefer the song, but you can still worship the Lord. Don't resist the working and the moving of the Spirit of God. Some ways that we resist him is by our distraction, our inattention. Sometimes it's because we procrastinate. We put off the things that we know that we should do. We're not as interested in spiritual things, the Word of God, prayer, and all of these things. We just say, well, I can do that at another time. And before long, if you keep resisting the voice of the Spirit of God, you're going to find yourself opposing everything that God says and does. You'll find yourself in that position, opposing God, thinking you know better than God, thinking you know better. And you're going to get yourself into such a situation that you're going to fall prey to the lies of the enemy. Amen. So that reason that I get concerned. People miss two or three services, I get concerned. And it's not that we just want to make sure we can count all the noses and have all the people in the pew that we want to have in the pew. It's because I know, and I think most of us recognize, that if we begin to neglect spiritual things, we're going to find ourselves prey of the enemy. Amen. It's the truth. It's the truth. get a hold of God and resist the enemy. The scripture that we read here at the beginning from 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 4. Ye are of God. What does it mean? It means you belong to the Lord. You're of God, little children. That's the relationship. He's your heavenly Father. You're of God, little children, and have overcome them. What's them? All these things that we read about in those first three verses, that spirit of the false prophets, that lying spirit, that spirit of Antichrist, already overcome. It's already been overcome. You are of God. You belong to God. You're His child. He's your heavenly Father. You have overcome them. How? Because you've been born again. Because you belong to the Lord. Because greater is He that is in you. The pressure inside is greater than all these things that Satan is bringing against you. And you're not going to cave in. You're not going to collapse. You're going to hold on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's stand, everybody. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. Lord, that you are merciful and that you deal with us, Lord, according to your mercy. We don't deserve that, but I thank you for that. Now, Lord, I just pray everyone in this sanctuary here tonight, without exception, we need, Lord, your presence, your spirit in our lives. We need a renewing and a refilling of your spirit. Lord, our walk with God, our experience with you, it needs to be real. It needs to be fresh and up to date for today, for the challenges of right now. Oh, Lord. And we know, Lord, as you are our Heavenly Father, you dwell within us. We're filled with your Holy Spirit. That is the only way that we can resist the pressures of this age, of these days that we're in right now, pressures from every side. Oh, Lord, so many pressures. And we ask you, Lord, oh, God, equip us, empower us, fill us up, Lord, so that we will not fall prey to the lies of the enemy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.